If you would take your scriptures and turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah 3, we'll be reading through verses 1 through 10. Jonah chapter 3, to give ear to the reading of God's word. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. Did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning because we love you, O Lord, our strength. You, dear Lord, are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. You're our rock in whom we take refuge. You're our shield and the horn of our salvation, our stronghold. We call to you, Lord, who is worthy of praise. We're saved from our enemies. Father, we need you if we're to grow in our understanding of the grace you have given us in Christ Jesus. Grant us the ability to hear your word and to believe with all of our hearts. We ask these things in his holy name. Amen. We hear all the time some man telling us he knows what the problems of the world are and how to fix them. This has been the mantra of politicians from the beginning of time. The problem is, not a single one of those promises have held up under time. One of the things we get from Jonah is a promise that will last for eternity. We find this message here in the 3rd chapter of Jonah. It lays out for us a picture of what grace, the grace of God is, and what it can do for us. Grace is unmerited favor. In other words, it's something you receive because someone wanted you to have it, not because of anything you did to deserve it. Grace is God's way of doing for you what you can never do for yourself. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't purchase it. The only way to receive it is through the good pleasure and will of God. It is a gift, a marvelous, a wonderful gift. It allows you to receive something you never thought possible. That something is the salvation of your soul. Salvation is the product of God's grace because no man deserves such blessing. Jonah gives us a good picture of this grace. Jonah is painting a picture for us of what this grace looks like in this world. He's giving us a glimpse of what our Lord Jesus Christ will do for us when he comes. We need to go to the Gospel of Luke if we want to find out how grace works today. Jesus gave you, through his disciples, a very similar commission as Jonah. Luke 24, verses 45 through 49. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Jonah had been in the belly of the fish 3 days and nights, just as Jesus was in the grave. When Jesus came forth from the grave, he commissioned his disciples and all believers to go and fulfill the work he began of carrying the good news of salvation throughout the world. Jonah was given the same commission upon his deliverance from the fish. Verses 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. This is exactly the same call God gave to Jonah before. The difference here is Jonah has been touched by the grace of God. He has been raised from his state of unbelief and disobedience to a state of compliance and love because of God's grace in his life. What a marvelous concept this grace presents. God says to Jonah, okay, you messed up. It's all right. I forgive you. Let's start all over. Let's do this right this time. God forgave Jonah, forgot his disobedience, cast all of that into the sea of forgetfulness. It is God's grace that wipes the slate clean and allows you to still stand in the presence of God. The scripture says our God is a jealous God. He is also a gracious God. He does not hold things against his people. He is a forgiving God, and Jonah makes that truth very clear. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and learn what we can about our Lord here, about his glorious character seen in this passage. First, we will find God's grace displayed ever so clearly in his dealings with Jonah. Second, we shall observe how that grace works itself out in the actions of Jonah as he comes forth from the ocean. Third, we will consider how his grace is manifested in his dealings with the evil and wicked city of Nineveh. Fourth, we shall stop and consider how marvelous God's grace really is as we look at the way it's displayed in the lives of believers today. Please open your ears and listen. Open your heart and receive this message, because grace is the most important subject we could ever talk about. Without it, you would have no hope. One of the things we see in Jonah is how God brings this man to a recognition of his helpless estate and his absolute need of God's grace in his life. If you look closely at Jonah, you can see God's plan with mankind. He created man in perfect righteousness, knowledge, and holiness, placed him in a perfect garden, came to fellowship with him every day. Man wanted for nothing. God gave him one command to follow. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man exhibited a very great lack of self-control. He ate of the tree, plunging himself into sin and death. He died spiritually, and immediately he entered the process of physical death. Man was dead to God, turned out of the garden and left on his own. God could have struck all of mankind down, because that was what his justice demanded. He almost did that at the flood, sparing only 8 people for a new start. But man could not live a life of holiness. God did that. That was why he promised Adam and Eve that he would send one to do for them what they could not do. This little book of Jonah opens the window to show a little bigger picture of how this will come about. The Old Testament gives us a broad picture of man and his need and points us to the answer to his sin. This third chapter of Jonah makes clear God's purposes always succeed. Yet they can be very hard to follow for the human mind. The Apostle Paul explains when he says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. This third chapter opens with a strong expression of God's grace. Look at verses 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now this is the same call issued to Jonah before he ran away. He was to go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah rejected the call and ran away. He took a ship heading as far from Nineveh as he could go. God sent a storm and caused the crew in terror to throw Jonah into the sea. He prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah and preserve his life. In the belly of that fish, Jonah comes to understand his absolute need of divine grace. He sees that it is grace and grace alone that can save him. This is the same grace he wanted to deny to Nineveh. Jonah comes to repentance. He calls out with a broken heart and a contrite spirit to God. The Lord hears and answers his prayer, delivering safely to dry ground. Now comes God's call again to Jonah. This time, he is willing to listen. He's willing to obey. We learn a very important lesson about God's grace in this account. O. Palmer Robinson explains, God forgets and never holds the thing against you. Think of how wonderful are the implications of that one fact for your life. God simply does not hold grudges against people who humble themselves and ask his forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We see in Jonah, a man given a second chance. God is good at giving second chances, even third and fourth chances. Sometimes more chances than you can even count. Those chances all come on the heels of confession and repentance. The Bible is filled with accounts of people receiving second chances, from Adam and Eve to the people of the churches of Revelation. This has to fill your heart with hope. You serve a God who gives multiple second chances. He has to. He has to because he knows we're not capable of standing firm for very long. We are weak and fickle. Because of that, we need to learn. There can be no greater comfort than to know your God is a God of grace. The implications of God's grace in Jonah's life meant God's plan to have the people of Nineveh hear his word would be fulfilled. Jonah's deliverance from this fish was not just his salvation, but also his call to service. The same call he had before, to go and preach to Nineveh. Can you not see the power of God's grace? What a marvelous work this grace has performed. Jonah was saved from death. He was delivered from bondage, made right with God, and called to service. He is restored to his place as a prophet of God. This had to be for Jonah the assurance of his forgiveness, to allow him to go and do what he originally refused to do. The important thing to see is that it is to God's glory that you are saved, that you are forgiven and fully restored as a child of God. All men fell from God's glory as they lost the image in the garden. Through Jesus Christ, you are once again made in the image of God. You're restored in your calling to worship and serve him. You are made anew into a child of light. On the path of sin, you lost your way. But now, through the faith given by God in Jesus Christ, you are once again guided onto the right path. The path through Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. This is how God's grace is displayed in this old sinful world. We learned how God's grace is displayed in this life. That brings us to observe how God's grace works in the life of Jonah. Jonah stands in the grace of God after he has been delivered. God has taken Jonah through a great trial. He has been disciplined, but that discipline had a purpose, and that purpose was fully realized. Jonah was changed by the grace of God. He was made into a new man, turned around and set on a new path. There are three ways in which you can clearly see God's grace changing Jonah. The first change we find in Jonah after God's grace has worked in his heart is his recognition of himself. The sinner never really knows anything about himself. He is so self-centered. He can't see his own actions in a clear light. Jonah refused to follow God's call and has been taken through a process to extract from him his self-centered attitude. He comes out of that fish with a new attitude. He sees that he is a sinner, that God has forgiven him. He sees himself for what he is, and he sees his need of God's grace to live his life for God. Once you see your sin and God's grace, you cannot run away anymore. You can't run because you understand how helpless you are without the grace of God. Look closely at the first call God gave Jonah, chapter 1, verse 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before you. before me. Jonah is told to go and cry out against this wickedness of this great city. In the second call, he says in chapter 3, verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. In both calls, Jonah's to go and preach. The difference we see in these two calls is one of attitude. Jonah has been through this great trial, and in it, he's learned the importance of God's grace. He wasn't going to just preach against Nineveh, but to call them to see their sin and repent. God's grace has changed Jonah's approach to this task. John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, says, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What he's telling us is that those who come acknowledging their sinful nature and their need of God's grace are those who are best suited for service. This is what we should see in Jonah. He was a hard-hearted man, a man who didn't want to serve God if that service was against his best interest as he saw it. God's grace did its work in his heart. Now, he is willing to serve as God directs, even if he still thinks it might be less than in his best interest. Only a man who is willing to stand up, declare himself a sinner, and see his need of grace can serve God with integrity and honor. What follows such understanding of the natural condition of the heart? This would be the second way in which grace changed Jonah. This change had a profound impact on Jonah. He was a man who prayed and was heard by God. Jonah, trapped in the stomach of that great fish, came by God's grace to realize his absolutely lost condition. He opened his heart by God's grace and cried out to God. God heard his prayer. He responded to his cry. He delivered him from his grave. What Jonah learned in this deliverance was the faithfulness of God. To Jonah, this call appeared to be a death sentence. He was to take a long, perilous journey to the most wicked city of this day, a very large city filled with unbelievers, with people who worship bloodthirsty idols, and who would have no trouble at all killing a foreigner who questioned their right to worship such idols. He would be in that city all alone with nothing to protect him. He was to go and tell them how wicked they were, how wrong they were in worshiping such idols. To make things even worse, he was to threaten them with destruction if they didn't repent. Talk about walking into the lion's den. I think this should help you recognize the fear that may have caused Jonah to flee at first. There is no way any man would take on such a work without some help. God, through his grace, has given Jonah an absolute dependence on his presence. He endowed him with great faith, a faith that allows him to know the divine power and protection of his Lord. This man is now, by grace, come to have the courage he needs and the assurance he needs to stand as a true ambassador of God. Jonah came by grace to obedience through prayer. You can see this in how God has dealt with many of the more preeminent people in Scripture. All who would dare to take up God's word as a preacher or a teacher should learn this lesson. Verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. What this tells you is that Jonah's obedience was generated by his faithfulness to God's word. This must be true of all who teach or preach God's word. Jonah took God's word to Nineveh. A preacher must always proclaim God's word and nothing else. He must not make up stories in his preaching. He must be careful not to tailor his message to any one person or any group of people. He can't tickle the ears of those he likes and condemn those to damnation he dislikes. The preacher and the teacher is to take God's word. He's deliver it as clearly as he can with the grace he has given. He must let the text carry the message. John 3:24 explains. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. God's grace has changed this man, Jonah, and brought him to a place. He loves God's word and stands on it and on it alone. The third way God's grace changed Jonah is found in his heart. God used these great trials to open Jonah's heart and prepare him to stand up and proclaim the truth. Jonah was now a man who had undergone trial by fire. And he came out with the blessings of God on his life. One of the dangers many people fall into is to take the chastisement of God and glamorize it. The trial becomes the story and not the results. We talked about that when we talked about the great fish. Many people know Jonah only because of the great fish, not because of the grace that worked in his heart. You get the same thing with the miracles of Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Elisha, the fiery furnace, and Daniel and the lion's den. The trial was just the means God used to make the grace come alive in that person's life. The grace and the works it accomplishes is the real story. Jonah, before the trial, was a disobedient servant. After the trial with God's grace, he is committed to following God's word. He has a quiet spirit. His confidence, he has the confidence that nothing can stop him from carrying out God's commission. He knows there's nothing any man can do to him that will thwart God's plan. He stands ready. He stands willing to carry out any plans God lays before him. This shows that this change in Jonah goes much deeper than just making him obedient. He is now bold in his desire to follow God wherever he might lead. If you were called to take God's word to one of the many Muslim nations where they kill people for doing such work, do you think you could do so without assurance of God's grace in your life? I think even with such assurance, it would be a difficult task. That is what Jonah faced. And it required a monumental trial to prepare him to go to Nineveh. Look at how God worked to bring Jonah to the place he willingly goes and preaches to this wicked city. Does this not make you ashamed? Ashamed of your hesitation to even carry the good news of the gospel to your neighbor? I think we could all do well to constantly examine our hearts and remember how much we need the grace of God in our lives every day. This book of Jonah is not just about Jonah and his struggle with God. It is also about this great, wicked, and evil city of Nineveh. This was the largest city of that day. It was the center of power in that part of the world and had been for nearly 200 years. Look at verses 3 through 5. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Jonah finally gets to Nineveh. He immediately begins to preach the message God has given him. God told Jonah to warn these people of his coming judgment. On the surface, to most people, this would not seem to be a very gracious message. But if you know what God's final judgment is, you will understand the depth of grace in this message. This warning was evidence of God's mercy because he called them to repentance. This is the difference between the law and the gospel, between what God requires and what he promises. His requirement is death to sinners. His promise is grace to those who will hear and believe. This grace given to Nineveh begins with this warning. The gospel can't be understood until you know your sin. We have seen far too many think they can hide the unpleasantness of judgment without and convince people to hear the gospel without the warning. It will never happen. You begin the presentation of the gospel with a lie. Mr. Phillips says to present the gospel apart from the law is to develop a superficial evangelism that does nothing but deceive people into believing they're all right without a changed heart. God's holiness must be up front as you give the gospel. The sin in your heart has to be confronted by law. The punishment has to be laid before the sinner. Man must first see his sin, his need of divine help, before he can appreciate all Jesus did for him. Jonah came to Nineveh with the law. So how did they learn about grace? The grace was Jonah. All he went through made him a living example of God's grace. How'd they know this? The only possible way was Jonah told them. This was the message God gave him to preach before them. Think about it. These were people committed to idolatry. They were pagans. They had no love for Israel or anyone from Israel. Jonah comes and begins to preach a message of darkness. He tells them God is about to destroy them and their city. They confront him. He tells them what has just happened to him, how God has saved him from certain death. The message is that God can do the same for you. What we learn from this is that it is not Jonah. It is not the power of his oratory skills that changes them. What changes them is the power of God's truth piercing their hearts. We must never think we have the power of persuasion over others when it comes to God's truth. The tongue of man can change nothing. It is never your confidence that will win the day. It is only God, the truth of his message, that will change the hearts of men. We are never more than the instrument. Remember this. When the message of God is sent forth, it is to save souls. That means whenever the gospel is proclaimed, we as believers must pray that God's mercy will be on those to whom it is preached, keeping ever in our heart the fact that nothing is too great for our Lord. It is through God and his truth that there will be people who believe. They will come to that belief through hearing this warning of doom and the gospel of hope. One without the other is a paper tiger. It has no value in the work of evangelism. In Nineveh, you see the grace of God at work. They called for a fast. They put on sackcloth. They mourned over their sins. This is what the gospel called you to do. Recognize your sin. Confess it. Mourn for the guilt in your heart. And believe in the hope promised in the gospel. All of this becomes a testimony to others of the change God has wrought in your heart. This all brings you to remember repentance, which, like faith, is a gift from God. This is what brings the sinner to his knees. This is the effect of law and gospel working together. In all of this, you see the grace of God poured out on this great city of Nineveh. Look at this with an eye toward the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus and Jonah were sent from the Father in heaven. They both came to remind of the law and its judgment against sin. Jesus says in John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Jesus came and obeyed the command of God like Jonah eventually did. He delivered his message of God to the people. He preached and hardened sinners were convicted and came to believe. We stand in a little different situation than Nineveh. Nineveh was given a few days to hear and believe. We live where the gospel is to be proclaimed continually throughout the age. Jonah preached 40 days. The rains fell 40 days in Noah's day. Israel was tried for 40 days as Moses was on the mountain. Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. We see that God always places a time on the end of the trial when he will either send his wrath or his grace. Do not think we are not today under a set time for his wrath to fall. The word of God has been sent to every wicked corner of this world. God knows the time. And this, right now, is the time for hearing and believing on the grace of God. It will come to an end, and His judgment will fall. The only thing that can delay that judgment is for people to open their ears and hear in their hearts and believe. Please, do not be taken in by anyone who tells you they know the day or the hour it will come. Only God knows that, and He will not share His glory with any man. Your responsibility is to be ready at all times and to be busy witnessing to others of their need to be ready. Now let me be sure you understand. You're all sinners, lost and without hope in and of yourself. You cannot do anything to save yourself. The only thing you can do is listen to God's message, admit your sin, confess that sin, and turn away from it. Turn to Jesus Christ. Believe that He is the Son of God, that He has done for you all you could never do for yourself. He lived a perfect life you could never live. He died the atoning death required to take away your sin. He won the resurrection victory to open for you the way into heaven and into the eternal presence of God. Place your hope in Him and in Him alone, for He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one can approach God the Father except they come through Him. He calls today. Answer His call. For it is the only hope that you will ever have. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, You have called us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For it is You who works in us to will and to act according to Your purpose. It is the desire of our hearts to live our lives fulfilling Your purpose in this world. To do everything we do without grumbling and arguing so that we may be blameless and pure. That we may be Your children without fault. That we might be witnesses of Your grace among the crooked and depraved generation in which we live. Let us be stars shining for You in this universe. Let us hold out the word of life to others. Use us to show forth the day of Christ Jesus. We pray this in His glorious name. Amen.